What if the key to better judgment isn't intelligence or courage, but something more fundamental? Julia Galef's The Scout Mindset has become a modern classic in decision-making literature, endorsed by figures from Tim Ferriss to Adam Grant. This book challenges our basic assumptions about how we think, offering a refreshing alternative to the hardwired for self-deception narrative that dominates popular psychology. Drawing from her experience founding the Center for Applied Rationality and hosting the acclaimed Rationally Speaking podcast, Galef introduces a powerful metaphor that has transformed how Silicon Valley executives, effective altruists, and everyday decision makers approach reality. With over 4 million views, her TED Talk on this concept has sparked a quiet revolution in how we think about thinking itself. At its core lies a deceptively simple question. Are you approaching life's challenges as a soldier defending territory or as a scout mapping unknown terrain? In 1894, a French spy discovered evidence of military secrets being sold to Germany. Suspicion quickly fell on Alfred Dreyfus, the only Jewish officer on the general staff. Despite flimsy evidence and his protestations of innocence, Dreyfus was convicted of treason and sentenced to life imprisonment on Devil's Island. The investigation exemplified what psychologists call motivated reasoning, when our unconscious desires shape our conclusions. As psychologist Tom Gilovich explains, when we want something to be true, we ask, "Can I believe this?" searching for any excuse to accept it. When we don't want something to be true, we ask, "Must I believe this?" looking for any reason to reject it. This pattern manifests throughout human history as denial, wishful thinking, confirmation bias, and tribalism. Colonel Georges Picard, initially convinced of Dreyfus's guilt, later discovered evidence pointing to another officer as the real spy. Despite his own anti-Semitic views and the professional risks, Picard pursued the truth, eventually securing Dreyfus's pardon after a decade-long struggle. While directionally motivated reasoning resembles a soldier defending territory against threats, Picard demonstrated accuracy-motivated reasoning, evaluating ideas by asking, "Is it true?" This scout mindset prioritizes creating an accurate map of reality over protecting comforting beliefs. Scout mindset proves essential for sound judgment in all aspects of life. It helps you avoid self-deception when deciding whether to get medical testing, when to cut losses on a failing project, or if a relationship will improve. In professional settings, scout mindset helps with tough decisions about firing employees, preparation needs, and product development timelines. Even lawyers, despite their adversarial role, need objectivity to realistically assess case strengths and weaknesses. As one experienced attorney notes, novice lawyers often ignore obvious problems out of eagerness to help clients. In relationships, scout mindset allows us to consider alternative interpretations beyond our initial narrative. Being receptive to potentially painful truths makes others more willing to be honest with you, whether partners or employees. While soldier mindset treats reasoning as defensive combat, where being wrong feels like defeat, scout mindset approaches reasoning as map making, where discovering errors simply improves your map of reality. To understand why soldier mindset persists despite scout mindset's advantages, we must recognize its protective functions. Following Chesterton's fence principle, understanding why something exists before removing it, we need to examine motivated reasoning's benefits before advocating its abandonment. Research reveals 6 overlapping functions that soldier mindset serves: comfort, self-esteem, morale, persuasion, image, and belonging. Soldier mindset helps us avoid negative emotions through denial and comforting narratives. We use sour grapes reasoning when rejected, deciding that date who ghosted us was boring anyway, and sweet lemons thinking when problems seem unfixable, like historical claims that childbirth pain builds character. Sometimes the comforting belief is pessimistic. Concluding a difficult class is hopeless provides relief from trying. We protect our egos by developing flattering narratives for unflattering facts. Someone with few friends might tell themselves that greatness requires loneliness. Our beliefs often align with our traits, Messy people embrace the idea that messiness signals creativity, while frequent travelers believe worldliness is essential for personal development. Even fundamental beliefs about how the world works are shaped by self-image. Wealthy people tend to credit success to hard work and talent, while poorer people recognize luck's role. Irrational optimism is often seen as beneficial, especially in entrepreneurial circles where it motivates people to take on daunting challenges. Despite startup success rates hovering around 10%, entrepreneurs consistently rate their chances of success at 7 to 10 out of 10. We maintain this optimism through mental strategies, like downplaying baseline odds. Success is purely about effort. Selectively focusing on positive factors, and avoiding consideration of downsides or alternative plans. When we need to persuade others, we often first persuade ourselves. Lyndon Johnson would work up his beliefs by repeatedly arguing a position until he genuinely believed it, making his persuasion more effective. Law students randomly assigned to argue either side in moot court come to believe their side is morally and legally right. Even in everyday life, we find it easier to convince others we're good, deserving, or valuable when we first convinced ourselves. We select beliefs like we select clothing, based on how they make us appear to others. Different people cultivate different belief images. Nihilism to seem edgy, optimism to seem likable, or moderate positions to seem mature. We follow intellectual fashion trends, adopting popular ideas in our social circles. Almost universally, we avoid beliefs that make us look crazy or selfish, creating defensible explanations for self-serving behaviors. All social groups have implicit belief requirements, and dissent can be alienating. While deferring to consensus can be rational, motivated reasoning occurs when we don't want to discover if the consensus is wrong. Katya, raised in an environmentalist community, felt physically ill when encountering compelling pro-forestry arguments she couldn't refute. Belonging also means demonstrating loyalty by rejecting evidence that threatens the group's honor. Gamers dismiss studies about violent video games. Catholics question abuse allegations against priests.
Scout mindset is guided by the question, "Is it true?" while soldier mindset asks, "Can I believe it?" about desired beliefs, and "Must I believe it?" about unwanted ones. We use soldier mindset to maintain beliefs that provide emotional benefits, comfort, self-esteem, morale, and social benefits, persuasion, image, belonging. However, soldier mindset can backfire. Law students more confident in their side's merits are significantly less likely to win cases, perhaps by failing to prepare for rebuttals. Our beliefs serve different purposes simultaneously, forcing us to make trade-offs between judgment and other values. We trade judgment for belonging when we suppress doubts about our community's beliefs to fit in. We sacrifice judgment for persuasion, like the charity president who convinced himself every dollar was well spent, making him better at fundraising but worse at cutting failing programs. These trade-offs happen unconsciously, with our minds sometimes attempting to have both, like when Galep asked students for feedback while nodding encouragingly, unconsciously signaling she wanted positive responses. The rational irrationality hypothesis suggests humans evolved to skillfully balance epistemic rationality, holding well-justified beliefs, with instrumental rationality, acting effectively to achieve goals. A rationally irrational person would deny problems only when comfort outweighs the chance of fixing them. But we're far from rationally irrational. We systematically misjudge the costs and benefits of truth, overvaluing soldier mindset and undervaluing scout mindset. Present bias, caring too much about short-term consequences and too little about long-term ones, affects not just our actions, but our thinking. Like choosing sleep over exercise, soldier mindset delivers immediate rewards while costs come later. When you convince yourself, "It wasn't my fault," you get instant emotional relief but miss learning from mistakes. Being overly optimistic provides immediate motivation that dwindles when success takes longer than predicted. As Francis Bacon said, "Hope is a good breakfast but a bad supper." Just as going to the gym builds not just fitness, but also valuable habits of doing hard things, practicing scout mindset builds crucial thinking skills. Each time you acknowledge a good point, check facts before citing them, or admit being wrong, you make these actions easier in the future. These habits accumulate over time, but in any single instance, it's difficult for the incremental improvement to compete with soldier mindset's immediate rewards. Like lies we tell others, self-deception creates unpredictable ripple effects. If you rationalize away your mistakes and see yourself as perfect, you might become unsympathetic when others make mistakes. If you view yourself through rose-colored glasses but face rejection, you might conclude others are shallow. This might lead you to distrust advice contradicting this view, creating further distortions. In today's world, an accurate map of reality is more valuable than ever before. Unlike our ancestors, who were stuck with their tribe and limited options, modern humans have unprecedented freedom to choose where to live, what career to pursue, who to marry, and how to manage our health. Our judgment determines whether these choices make our lives better or worse. We also have many more opportunities to fix problems through education, moving to new places, therapy, medication, or changing our circumstances. This abundance of opportunity makes Scout Mindset far more useful than it would have been for our ancestors. Scout Mindset isn't about feeling objective. It's about recognizing our biases. Feeling objective can actually backfire, making you less inclined to question your intuitions. Similarly, being smart and knowledgeable doesn't protect against bias. Yale professor Dan Kahan's research shows that on politically charged scientific topics like climate change, higher scientific intelligence actually increases polarization between liberals and conservatives rather than bringing them to consensus. Intelligence and knowledge are merely tools that can be used either to see clearly or defend viewpoints. The true test of Scout Mindset isn't self-perception, but action. A man who claimed he regularly changed people's minds on Twitter with just the facts actually never did so in his feed. 5 behavioral signs of Scout Mindset include 1. Telling others when they were right, like Lincoln acknowledging to General Grant, "You were right and I was wrong." 2. Responding constructively to criticism, like Spencer, who anonymously surveys employees about his management. 3. Proving yourself wrong, like journalist Bethany Brookshire, who fact-checked her own viral tweet about gender bias. 4. Taking precautions against self-deception, like physicist Saul Perlmutter using blind data analysis. And 5. Having good critics whose objections you respect, like Darwin appreciating François-Jules Pictet's thoughtful critique. The greatest sign of Scout Mindset may be recognizing when you're in soldier mindset, as motivated reasoning is our natural state. If you never notice yourself engaging in motivated reasoning, you're likely not self-aware, since bias is universal and hardwired into our brains. Motivated reasoning works like a magician's forcing trick. We think we're making objective choices while our brain manipulates the outcome. Just as a magician ensures you end up with a specific card, regardless of your choice, our brains lead us to convenient conclusions while maintaining the illusion of objectivity. We can only detect this bias by comparing our reasoning across different scenarios where our motivations differ. To detect motivated reasoning, you must compare your current reasoning to how you would reason if your motivations were different. While you can't literally visit this counterfactual world, thought experiments provide a virtual peek. For these to work effectively, you must genuinely imagine the scenario rather than just formulating a verbal question. When a law student named Keisha insisted she wasn't staying in law school just to please her parents, her friend made her vividly imagine her parents calling to say they'd support her quitting. This made Keisha realize she actually would quit immediately if given that permission. The double standard test asks, am I judging others by standards I wouldn't apply to myself? A socially awkward young man at a military school resented girls for ignoring him until he asked himself if he'd behave differently in their position, realizing he too would pursue the most attractive options. The double standard test applies to political biases too, like a Democrat who questioned his party's plan to abolish the filibuster by imagining his reaction if Republicans had done the same. When Intel was struggling in the memory chip market in 1985, co-founder Andy Grove asked his partner Gordon Moore, "If we got kicked out and the board brought in a new CEO, what would he do?" Moore answered without hesitation, "He would get us out of memories." This clarity prompted Grove to ask why they couldn't make that decision themselves, leading Intel to successfully pivot to microprocessors. the outsider test strips away emotional attachments to past decisions and reputation concerns. The conformity test asks, if this person told me they no longer held this view, would I still hold it? This test works for preferences too, as when a woman questioning whether she wanted children imagined a world where only 30% of people became parents, realizing parenthood seemed much less appealing without social conformity. While researching this book, Galef encountered a paper claiming soldier mindset makes people successful. She immediately scrutinized its methodology for flaws. Then she asked herself, what if the study had claimed soldier mindset makes people unsuccessful? She realized she would have enthusiastically accepted it without the same scrutiny. The selective skeptic test asks, imagine this evidence supported the other side. How credible would you find it then? The status quo bias test addresses our tendency to feel losses more acutely than similar-sized gains, making us reluctant to change even when beneficial. When people argue against life extension research, Galef asks them to imagine if humans naturally lived 170 years and a mutation reduced lifespan to 85. Would they be pleased? If not, perhaps shorter lifespans aren't actually preferable for societal progress. Thought experiments aren't oracles that tell you what's true or fair. Rather, they reveal how your reasoning changes with your motivations. They show that your principles and objections shift depending on motives like defending your image, advocating self-serving policies, or fearing change. Catching your brain in motivated reasoning, noticing when flaws suddenly become visible or preferences change as you switch scenario details, breaks the illusion that your initial judgment is objective truth. In Star Trek Beyond, Spock tells Captain Kirk that intercepting three enemy ships is an impossibility, yet 60 seconds later, Kirk succeeds. This isn't surprising to Star Trek fans, as Spock routinely makes overconfident predictions that prove wrong. Like Spock, most of us speak with unwarranted certainty. There's no way he can make that shot, or I'll definitely finish by Friday, yet we're often wrong. Even when explicitly asked about our confidence levels, we frequently claim 100% certainty on everything from extraterrestrial life to sales goals. Even professionals overestimate their abilities. One study found 40% of completely certain medical diagnoses were incorrect at autopsy. Most people assess certainty by asking, "Do I actively feel doubt?" If not, they declare themselves 100% certain. But scouts treat certainty as a prediction of their likelihood of being right. Imagine sorting all your beliefs into buckets based on confidence. Putting a belief in the 70% sure bucket means this is the kind of thing I expect to get right roughly 70% of the time. The goal is perfect calibration. Your 50% sure claims are correct 50% of the time, 60% sure claims correct 60% of the time, and so on. When we reassure friends or make casual claims, we often don't carefully examine what we actually believe. But when something's at stake, like your reputation when recommending a friend's catering business, your brain switches from be supportive to actually try to get the right answer. This resembles Robert Kurzban's company analogy. A press secretary makes public statements that sound good, while the board of directors makes the real decisions based on their best assessment of reality. The press secretary makes claims, the board makes bets. The equivalent bet test helps quantify your confidence level by comparing it to a concrete probability. You compare two bets, one on your belief being true versus one with known odds, like drawing a colored ball from a set. By adjusting the odds of the ball bet until both options feel equally attractive, you can determine your actual confidence percentage. For example, when considering whether self-driving cars will be available within a year, you might find yourself preferring a 1-in-9 chance of winning with the ball bet over betting on the cars, revealing roughly 11% confidence in the technological forecast. When Stephen Callahan's ship capsized in the Atlantic in 1981, he survived 76 days adrift on a raft by making clear-eyed decisions about water rationing, fishing, and navigation while fighting off sharks and exposure. Unlike most people in emergencies who resort to denial or wishful thinking, Callahan committed to facing reality squarely. Nature is not such a dolt, he told himself, knowing he couldn't afford self-deception when every decision mattered. Instead of distorting reality, he found honest ways to keep despair at bay, counting blessings, reminding himself he was doing his best, and finding purpose in documenting his experience for future sailors. In life or death situations, our fundamental need to feel things are okay collides with our need to see reality clearly. Most people resort to motivated reasoning, denial, wishful thinking, rationalizing, but this degrades judgment when it's most needed. Scouts aren't immune to negative emotions, but choose coping strategies that preserve accuracy. Effective, honest strategies include making concrete plans, which diminishes denial once you have a path forward, noticing silver linings without claiming misfortunes are good, focusing on different goals, like John, who shifted from best programmer to astute judge of talent, and reminding yourself things could be worse, as AIDS activists did during treatment setbacks. When 16-year-old Julia considered pursuing stage acting, a successful actor advised her to screw the odds and believe in herself, suggesting that acknowledging potential failure would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. This represents the self-belief model of success. Convincing yourself you'll succeed provides motivation to persist through challenges. Rather than following this advice, the author researched the difficult reality of stage acting careers. Only 17,000 of 49,000 union actors get any work annually, with a median salary of just $7,500. Another friend in show business asked whether acting was the only career she could be excited about. Since her answer was no, she chose a different path. Elon Musk's approach to motivation involves thinking of ventures as bets with expected value, like a die roll offering $200 for rolling a 6 versus losing 10 otherwise. Some opportunities are worth taking even when failure is the most likely outcome. With Tesla and SpaceX, Musk estimated only a 10% chance of success for each, but proceeded because the potential value of success was enormous, advancing electric vehicles or enabling Mars colonization. The key question becomes, would the value of the expected successes outweigh the value of the expected failures? Trevor Bauer, a Cleveland Indians pitcher, demonstrates the scout mindset by attributing his 6-0 winning streak to random variation rather than skill or effort. When later experiencing an unusually high home run rate against him, he remained calm, recognizing this too was statistical variance that would normalize. This approach creates emotional stability. Instead of wild swings between elation and despair with each outcome, you judge yourself by the quality of your decisions rather than results. Jeff Bezos exemplifies how accepting risk creates boldness rather than timidity. Before founding Amazon, he estimated his chance of success at just 30%, but decided he would regret not trying more than he would regret failing. Similarly, Elon Musk manages fear through fatalism. Accepting the probabilities diminishes fear. The scout approach to motivation doesn't require believing success is guaranteed. Instead, it draws strength from knowing you're making smart bets you can feel good about regardless of outcome, creating a robust morale rooted in truth rather than self-deception. Susan Blackmore's experience with paranormal research demonstrates how identity can be both an obstacle and a catalyst for truth-seeking. After an out-of-body experience in college, she dedicated her academic career to proving paranormal phenomena, but years of experiments yielded only chance results. Despite her entire identity being built around paranormal beliefs, her deeper identity as a scientist ultimately prevailed, allowing her to accept she was wrong. People who excel at facing hard truths and changing their minds often have truth-seeking as a core personal value and source of pride. While identity typically hinders scout mindset by creating pressure to defend certain positions, we can flip this dynamic by making scout mindset itself part of our identity. Joshua Harris, author of the pro-purity book I Kissed Dating Goodbye, initially struggled to repudiate his work because it was tied to his identity. His transformation began when he enrolled in graduate school at age 40, adopting a new identity as a student with questions rather than a leader with answers, ultimately leading him to discontinue his book and publicly change his position. When trying to build habits like getting up when your alarm rings, framing the challenge in terms of identity, I'm the kind of person who follows through on promises can be more motivating than simply thinking about what you should do. Identity transforms difficult actions into expressions of who you are rather than burdensome obligations. The same applies to scout mindset. When you pride yourself on being a scout, it becomes easier to resist mocking those who disagree with you or to acknowledge mistakes. While this book focuses on individual change, one of the most impactful long-term strategies is changing who you surround yourself with. Our identities are shaped by our social circles. Consider how your friends might react if you questioned a shared political view, with curiosity or hostility. The effective altruist movement exemplifies a community that rewards accuracy over conformity, maintaining public our mistakes pages and welcoming good criticism. Despite being called a prophet and genius in the cryptocurrency world, Vitalik Buterin, co-founder of Ethereum, consistently expresses uncertainty about cryptocurrency. During Cryptomania in 2017, when market capitalization hit $500 billion, Buterin tweeted skeptically, "But have we earned it?" and warned people not to invest money they couldn't afford to lose. He even cashed out 25% of his own Ether before the peak. Buterin frankly discusses Ethereum's flaws, sometimes creating headaches when critics misrepresent him. Yet he continues this approach because it attracts thoughtful, smart, scout-like people to Ethereum. Despite the internet's reputation for toxicity, you can curate your online experience by choosing who to follow and engage with. Communities like changeofyou.com, founded by Finnish student Cal Turnbull, and now with over 500,000 members, foster productive disagreement. Users post views they're open to changing and award deltas to comments that change their mind even slightly. These deltas become status currency, encouraging communication styles that yield mind-changing rather than insults. This isn't a pessimistic book about facing harsh reality. It's optimistic in the justified sense. Most people believe we must choose between happiness and realism, but we can have both with effort and cleverness. We can cope with fear, take risks, influence others, and fight for change while working with reality rather than denying it. Though soldier mindset is part of our wiring, we can take incremental steps towards scout mindset. Despite our brains being optimized for tribal defense rather than unbiased evaluation, many people have transcended these limitations. We can focus on humanity's capacity for self-serving distortions and feel bitter, or focus on those who champion truth and feel inspired.